Hey guys, I'm Brenna O'Malley. I'm a registered dietitian and creator of The Wellful, and you're listening to The Wellful Podcast, the show where we're featuring exciting and inspiring conversations with the people behind the brands that are changing the food and wellness landscape. Whether they're creating their own food company, bringing in-person connection to an online world, or building the best gym in Bermuda, these entrepreneurs and innovators are sharing their story of how they got to where they are and where they're going next. Thanks for listening. So today we have Ali Bonner, formerly worked in marketing in Silicon Valley and is now a blogger and recipe developer, content creator for Avo Queen, known for breaking the internet with her hashtag free the drip rule worthy creations. Ali is also the co-founder and CEO of Queen Foods, best known for their first hit product, granola butter. On social media, Ali shares her recovery journey from binge eating disorder and the behind the scenes of starting your own food company with the community she's created promoting intuitive eating, self-love, and authenticity. I'm excited to welcome Ali to the Wellful Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So we can jump right in here. So if you want to talk a little bit about how you first got started with Avo Queen.
Yeah, totally. So I guess it goes back. I studied nutrition in college. So I went to UC Berkeley just up in the Bay Area. And I mean, really my whole life, I've been kind of obsessed with food and cooking. And like I remember in third grade, my mom thought I was just the weirdest little kid because I would like spring out of bed and want to make lunches for everyone like before school. And she was like, okay, that's weird. But like, sure, I get an extra like 10 minutes of sleep, like go for it. And so kind of, it was just like very natural for me to, you know, want to study nutrition. And, so I went into it, actually, I was pre-med and wanting to become a doctor and, you know, studying for the MCAT and everything. And, but nutrition was always just something that I thought was kind of more of a passion and couldn't really be actually like a full-time job. And so, you know, as I'm studying more and more in college, I'm, just kind of getting more and more anxious around food. And so, you know, really like the pure innocent joy of, cooking and eating that I had experienced when I was younger was kind of replaced with, just a lot of anxiety around, you know, trying to eat like perfectly clean all the time. And so I think, you know, in hindsight, obviously I've done a lot of self-work and, kind of realized that it stemmed from just knowing too much about food and nutrition information. And I think that happens to a lot of people, nowadays. You know, I mean, we're so bombarded with, eat this, not that. And I think my goal is really to kind of help people remember, just to get back to the basics and also to remember that like eating and cooking and, you know, meal times are supposed to be enjoyed and celebrated and, you know, something that kind of bonds people and connects people. So that was, you know, all through college, I kind of struggled with that. And then, after I graduated, I moved into San Francisco and started working for a tech company, which, is, you know, super cliche, but, I did it. And then, and when after I graduated, I kind of realized like, you know, my issues with food weren't fully resolved. And so, it wasn't anything that, you know, when you think of someone who has an eating disorder, you think of someone who's severely underweight and, you know, maybe they're hospitalized and, you know, very like anorexic looking. And so for me, it was really isolating because on the outside I was, you know, pretty average looking in terms of like I was athletic and, you know, I worked out, but I still like went out to bottomless brunch with my friends. And so on the outside, I was seemingly, you know, had, kind of a normal relationship with food, but inside is really where, there was a lot of turmoil going on and I just felt like really overwhelmed. You know, I remember one time I went out to dinner, with some girlfriends and I had studied abroad with them. And so I hadn't seen them in a couple years. And just the whole time I was there, I was thinking about, okay, like what's the healthiest thing on the menu that I can order and, you know, don't let myself eat too much of it. And just this constant chatter in my mind. And I remember leaving dinner and like not even really remembering what we had talked about or like what the conversations that we had at the table were about. And I was just so mad at myself. And I was like, how, like, why am I letting this rule my life? You know? And so finally I, you know, I kind of reached out to, Molly, who, Molly Alleman, she's a nutritional therapist in San Francisco. And, I had actually found her on Instagram and, you know, I think Instagram is an awesome tool just to kind of find resources like that, because in my mind, like, you know, I'd never been to therapy or never worked with anyone like that, and kind of actually shrugged it off as something that was better for, you know, people who have real issues, or, you know, I'm not in like deep in my eating disorder, enough to like see someone professionally. Like, I can kind of handle it on my own. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people stuck for so long, is really just, you know, not feeling like they're in bad enough shape to see someone and seek outside help. So finally reached out to her. And honestly, I mean, the day that I reached out to her and just shared with someone what was going on, it was like half the healing was done right then. And it was just such a weight off my shoulders. And, I mean, like I said before, it's like incredibly isolating to keep that inside. And, so after working with her, I launched my Instagram account, Oppo Queen, which I still run today, and kind of use that just as a way to share about my intuitive eating journey and my, you know, my journey back to, loving myself and loving my body. And, yeah, I mean, it just kind of grew from there. And I guess, I mean, we can talk about kind of the business side of things, if you want, but, and then I went on to launch Queen Foods, which is, our company, and we have a product called granola butter. And I launched that about, I would say probably 6 months, I think, after I launched Avo Queen. Maybe it was a little bit longer than that, but, yeah. And I mean, really the whole goal with our company is the same kind of principles, you know, being able to love yourself and love your body, and also, you know, live your best life while nourishing yourself. You know, I think sometimes in this day and age, things can get kind of, very black and white, where it's like, you know, go out and binge drink and party, and then the next morning it's like Monday morning, you know, it's back on the wagon and green salads and green juices. And I think that life is so much more about the gray and living kind of in the in-between. And, so we're trying to kind of, you know, promote that and show that life is really just, it's a balance and it's never like an end destination.
I love that so much. And I think that so much of what you say and how you share your story just now and on Avo Queen and other speaking engagements and podcasts that you've done is so, so important, because I think there's such a stigma in so many ways of like, one, like feeling like you're sick enough to get any kind of help for any kind of thing, like share those parts of your journey also, I think is really, really important. And I think in nutrition, as someone who also went through like the traditional courses and stuff, I don't think it's talked about enough to the students kind of promoting a healthy relationship in people who are so interested in it for whatever reason. So I think that's another like really big topic. So I just always am really appreciative that you share that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something too that, I mean, you know, I went to a pretty prestigious nutrition program. You know, Berkeley has a great program, but I was so blown away by what they were teaching was, I mean, it was so antiquated. Like everything they were teaching mm-hmm. was, you know, based on the food pyramid still. And there was no talk about, you know, intuitive eating. There was no talk about, mindfulness or, you know, eating disorders. Like we touched on eating disorders a little, but it was like from a very clinical place. And, and not to bash them or like their program, but I think there's so much more work that needs to be done. I mean, I remember like freshman year, one of my basic like intro to human nutrition classes, we had to do a food journal, for a week. And I was so triggered, you know, it was like, you had to see like how many calories a day you were eating. And this is like an intro nutrition class, you know, this is for anyone. It wasn't just nutrition students. And I just remember like you know, it was my first semester away from home and I had like a long distance, you know, boyfriend at the time. And I was just like in a really bad place. And so like having to write down everything of food that went in my mouth, like for this class, like that was not helpful.
Right.
Yeah. And so it just kind of like blows my mind. I don't know, like how, I guess some of these programs kind of just really only skim the surface on what's going on with people and their relationship with food.
So was when you saw Molly, was that the first time you heard of intuitive eating also?
Yeah. I mean, I had heard about it, I think, and something that, I mean, intuitive eating gets kind of a bad rap on social media and just in general, I think a lot of times people associate it with, oh, you're going to be eating, you know, donuts and Twinkies all day. And, and that like is just so far from the truth. Like honestly, when I was so restrictive and really kind of in deep in like the diet mentality, like that's when I would binge on unhealthy, you know, quote unquote unhealthy foods, the most, because your body, it's like, I mean, if you kind of think of like, I don't know, like a rubber band, like it's going to snap back. And, I think the more that you restrict something, like I remember one time growing up, I was like never really big into red meat. I just like didn't really like the taste of it, which is like funny because now I like love it. But I remember like one time hearing, you know, as I'm learning more about nutrition, that red meat is like so bad for you. And so like I, you know, cut it out, and all of a sudden I found myself like craving red meat all the time. And it was just the weirdest thing, because it was like something that I had never even liked, you know, in the first place. So I think that happens a lot with people where it's like with all these like diets, you know, they, it's like you're on the wagon or off the wagon. And so the thing with intuitive eating, which was so freeing for me, was it's not about like, you know, cause I love eating healthy and I love the way it makes me feel. And I remember coming to Molly and I was so confused because I was like, well, you know, she was starting to teach me about intuitive eating. And I was like all upset because I was like, well, I don't want to eat like pizza all day. And she was like, you don't have to, like, that's not part of it. And I, you know, I think people get confused because they're like, well, can I have a salad if I'm an intuitive eater? And it's like, of course, like most of my meals are plant-based and most of my meals are, you know, filled with nourishing foods that are going to make me feel really good and energized. And then intuitive eating really comes in where it's like, you know, maybe you're just really having a craving for something. And instead of, you know, pushing it out of your mind because it's unhealthy for you, you honor that craving, you have the cookie, and then you move the hell on. Like it's, you know, it's a lot more simple, I think, than people make it. And something else that Molly helped me a ton with, which I think will probably help, you know, anyone listening, is just removing the morality of food. So in my mind, you know, foods were good and foods were bad. And, you know, I definitely agree that if you're eating a salad, like that's more nutrient dense than, you know, a donut. Like there can be foods that are more, you know, healthy for you and they're more nutrient dense. But I think removing the label of like good and bad is so, so important, because I used to, you know, I would consider myself, oh, I've been good all day. And then, you know, I would slip up and like have, you know, dessert. And then I would feel like I'm bad for having something that was quote unquote bad. So I think removing that helped a ton. And, you know, food is just food. Food doesn't have feelings. Like food doesn't care about you. It's just, it's so neutral. And so kind of getting to that place where you can just treat it that way is, was really helpful for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I totally, totally agree. And I love that you've been able to create something, so much bigger than like your own journey and like sharing it, but like impacting so many other people, which is like such a cool thing about social media and like what you've created with both Avo Queen and Queen & Co. So and as you, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to add to like something that I really want to emphasize is I think it's been kind of bothering me lately on social media that, you know, people are sharing about their journeys and stuff. And you know, I think that's great. Like I don't want to discount that at all. I think it's really important, you know, and it's really brave whenever anyone decides to share about maybe their past or whatever. But I think a lot of it, and I recently posted about this, but a lot of it is, you know, people sharing from this kind of like glamorized other side where it's like, oh, I used to struggle with this, you know, when I was in the throes of whatever, but now that I'm recovered and now that I'm healed, you know, like I'm kind of like have made it to the other side. And so like, I don't know, I just really wish that social media was more about like in the moment, like, I mean, putting the, you know, putting like the Insta back into Instagram. And I've really tried to do that because, you know, I don't want to really, I don't want people to think that, oh, this was something she struggled with and like now she's healed. Like I still struggle with this every single day. And like, I think that's kind of the biggest message that I want people to take away is like, you're never alone and you're never, you know, if you feel like, oh, I've been struggling with this for so long and I still am, like, that's totally normal. You're, you know, recovery is up and down and it's not linear. And, I don't know. I really want to emphasize that because I think for so long I would see all these people talking about their eating disorders and, you know, how they recovered. And now they're just like these perfect intuitive eaters. And I just don't think there's a such thing as a perfect intuitive eater. It's like, right. You know, journey.
And so I think it's so interesting kind of that that was like your beginning of kind of getting onto social media and having an account, because you said Molly kind of suggested to you to start Avo Queen, right? Or at least start your Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of just mentioned it because she had hers. And right, you know, now her account is Balanced by Molly, but at the time it was called Shake That Marshmallow, which I think is like so cute. I don't even know what it means. I don't know if she knows what it means, but I was like, why did you change your name? She's like, oh, I had to be more professional. but yeah, and so she brought it up and recommended, you know, just to like, as something to kind of hold me accountable, like in the opposite sense. So like a lot of times, you know, there's like the fitness, like Fitspo accounts that people are like, oh, this is going to document my weight loss journey. And like mine was the total opposite, where it was just like, this is going to like keep me accountable to actually add like a full tablespoon of peanut butter, or, you know, whatever, onto like what I'm eating. So it was, yeah, it was so great in that way that like it did kind of keep me accountable. But even more than that, it really actually, you know, opened my eyes to this awesome community. And like, I've never been the type of person that was like into meeting friends online. Like I thought that was so weird. And it's still really weird, but like, it's more normal now, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it, above all of that, like what it did, you know, the most was it made me like have fun with food again. Like food had been so stressful for so long and very, you know, scientific and quantitative and grams and counting, and it wasn't creative. It wasn't, you know, if you think of like nutritional science versus an Italian grandmother who's in her kitchen cooking pasta, like that is just two completely separate feelings. You know, like nutritional science has feelings of like cold and, you know, harshness. And so I really wanted to kind of go to the other side and really explore food as like a creative outlet. And so it was an awesome kind of just outlet for that, for me to be able to play with my food and bring like fun back into eating, I guess.
Was it very much when you started it kind of like more for yourself, or did you kind of have any thoughts or goals of making it bigger, making it into a business at all when you really started in the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, when I really started, to be completely honest with you, I actually had no plans for expanding it. I was really content in my job. I was working in health tech for a really fast growing startup in San Francisco. And I was in a product marketing role. I was just loving it. I love, you know, my team, my boss. And so it really kind of was like a side passion project. And I mean, the only thing that I was thinking like, oh, it'd be cool if I got sent like free food every once in a while. Like that was the only thing that I was really thinking about. And so I guess it just kind of grew. And I mean, I won't act like it was, you know, just happened like out of chance. Like I worked at it, and it was one of those things where I was just so passionate about it that, like I didn't mind posting every day. You know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to start like a food Instagram. And then, you know, they post a couple times and then maybe they forget about it and, you know, they go on vacation. But I was like so into it. And it also was like right in the middle of my, you know, journey with healing myself and my body. And so I was kind of in this mode of like, I just want to focus. I'm like, I want to do me for a little, you know, like I just want to focus on getting better and really just getting back into like, you know, this creative place, and kind of like changing my whole viewpoint on food. And so, yeah, it just, I don't know, naturally, I think I gravitated towards it. And so just, you know, the consistency of posting, like I posted, I think every day pretty much for like the first year that I had started it, which is pretty crazy. Now I obviously like take days off because I just, it's my business too. So I get really burned out. But yeah, I think it was just consistency mixed with, you know, extreme passion, and just really, you know, being excited about the community was like kind of the tools for success, I guess.
I remember in the very beginning, you also had the hashtag Free the Drip. Was that, do you feel, something that was kind of a start of you gaining more traction or more brand deals or anything like that? Was there kind of a point where you noticed things were changing?
Yeah. I mean, there was a point, I remember like right around, I think it was maybe like when I hit like 10K or something like that, followers. I remember like kind of when you start to hit around like 10,000 followers, like brands will start to at least kind of, you know, take notice of you. And so it was, yeah, the hashtag was cool. I mean, people were were posting a lot about it. And for people that don't know, it was just like, I would basically pour nut butter like over all of anything that I ate, like smoothies. It was just ridiculous. It was like smoothies, bars, like anything I could like pour like nut butter over, I would do that and then like take a picture of it. And so it was this really kind of like food porn, like drippy looking, you know, image. And so I think like those type of images do really well on social media, because it's just, it's so over the top that like, you know, people can't help but like repost it or share it. And so I think with any, you know, industry, if you're trying to grow your following on social, like shareability and that sort of virality component needs to be somehow integrated. And so yeah, I mean, for me, it was like the really drippy photos were what people were drawn to. And I think a lot of brands, you know, all of a sudden wanted me to do some smoothies for them. And so I got reached out to by a couple brands. And then, you know, once they repost photos, then they have like a much bigger platform than I did at the time. And so, that helped a lot, but yeah, it's been interesting. It's, I mean, now that I'm kind of focused my energy more on running a business, I obviously have less time to do just straight content creation, which I'm kind of sad about, 'cause like that was what I love doing. But I've noticed that, yeah, like the more like normal looking photos, you know, photos of like meals that I'm just actually eating, they're like mm-hmm. not glamorous. Like those, I mean, they do okay. And, you know, but it's like social media is so skewed that we're used to seeing these kind of over the top outrageous things. And so you just get kind of desensitized to it. And so when you see a normal looking meal on Instagram, you're like, I mean, meh, you know, like it's not amazing. Right. So I have noticed that, yeah, I mean, the more that I've kind of toned down, the types of images that I'm posting, then, yeah, it hasn't been like as explosive of growth as it was in the beginning. But, I don't know. I mean, I've evolved, and I don't think that that's really my brand as much anymore. And I'm more passionate about sharing about being, you know, an entrepreneur and starting a small food business at this point.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of going into that, some of your photos were these like drippy nut butters and that kind of a thing. And now you have your granola butter product, which is a granola butter, which didn't exist before. So if you want to talk a little bit about how you kind of came up with the idea of granola butter. And then I think it's really interesting that you went with making it a product and like something that we can all buy on shelves versus another recipe or something like that. So kind of how you went about that beginning yeah. process of creating it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it kind of goes back. So when I was recovering, I was introducing a lot of nuts back into my diet. So something that I had heavily restricted for a long time and was just terrified of, aside from like bread and carbs, was nut butters and nuts and really any kind of like dense fat, which is so like 90s, you know. It's like very not, I don't know. I was very like, I don't know, not because right now it's very trendy. But yeah. And so I started to incorporate like a lot of almond butters and stuff back into my diet when I was working with Molly. And just felt like really, I mean, I'm not allergic to nuts or anything, but like just felt really weighed down. And, you know, I would do like a quick, like banana and peanut butter before a workout. And like in the middle of my workout, I was like, oh, like this is not good, you know, just kind of heavy. And so I was thinking like, God, I wish there was like a spread that was nut free, you know, but still had those good healthy fats to like keep me full. 'Cause I don't know. I mean, the quick digesting carbs, like I was working out a ton. So I was like, I want like some fats to like keep me satisfied. And I was looking around and like, there was some seed butters, you know, which are great, but taste-wise, like they just don't do it for me. And then I was really inspired by the Trader Joe's cookie butter. And if you've tried my product, you know, it tastes very similar. And so, yeah, I was like really inspired by that, but I was like, obviously, you know, there's all these kind of like hydrogenated oils and I don't know if I can cuss on here, but like shitty ingredients that just like made me feel, you know, not great after I ate it. And so I was like, I wonder, you know, there's like nut butter, there's cookie butter, like, why is there no granola butter? And I was kind of like in the kitchen, just, you know, messing around and whipped up like the first, I guess, like version, which is probably terrible if we try it. so bad. It was like, just, it was so ratchet. It was like a bag of granola and then like coconut oil. And, And so, and then I tried it and I was like, okay, wait, this, they're like, there's something here, you know? But I kind of just sat on the idea. I'm like so much more like a creator type person. Like I, you know, I love brainstorming sessions and coming up with ideas, but actually the execution and like follow through is definitely not my strong suit. So I was talking to my boyfriend about it at the time, and he was kind of like, you know, there's actually something here. Like, especially if we go the nut-free route, you know, there's so many schools now that are nut-free and so many people with nut allergies these days. And so, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, we would actually be like really good business partners, because he comes from like the tech, you know, consulting background and, is a lot more like quantitative than I am. And then I would do kind of more the marketing, social media. And so, yeah, we decided to do it. And we decided to do, you know, a product rather than a recipe ebook or something, just because I've always been really fascinated by CPG and just the consumer space and putting a product out there that's tangible. And, you know, I love the internet, I love social media, but it just kind of scares me like building a brand only in like one arena, you know? It's like, I mean, even like the whole grocery market and retail market where, you know, Amazon and Whole Foods, it's like, I have this feeling that like people are always going to love going to the grocery store and like physically grocery shopping, you know? And it's the same thing with like Kindle trying to replace like paper books. It's like, there's something so special about having like holding a book in your hand and like turning the pages. And I just felt the same way about products. And I was really excited to, you know, get a product out there and take it to market. And so, I think the scariest part, like for anyone who has like a product idea, but they don't really know like where to start is just launch. And then you can iterate from there. So we took a lot of like, you know, obviously like tech principles. So like lean startup and stuff. And we just got our MVP out there and like got a ton of feedback from people who were not our friends, was not, you know, wasn't our mom, who was mm-hmm. going to tell us like, it's great, honey. And just got a bunch of consumer feedback and then just, yeah, tweaked the recipe and iterated from there. We brought in, so Eric's my boyfriend. So we co-founded it. And then we actually brought in a third co-founder, Ari, who like comes from the fine dining space. So, he worked in like Michelin star restaurants. And so he kind of brings that whole culinary aspect as well. So, that would be like another piece of advice is like, definitely, you know your weaknesses and bring in people who, you know, who have expertise in that area, because, you really can't like try to do it all as much as you think you can.
Yeah, no, I love that whole story. And I also love like the whole consumer packaged goods. I would imagine really challenging to create a new category. Like, yeah. How was that navigating when you were kind of like talking to buyers of different grocery stores and that kind of a thing?
God, I mean, we're in the thick of it right now. Like we're in total growth mode of just, you know, I'm personally like our sales team. So like I'm reaching out to all the buyers. And yeah, I mean, creating your own category, it sounds really glamorous. It sounds really exciting and innovative, but it is hard ass work. Like, you know, if I get asked one more time, what is granola butter? Like, is that a dairy product? Like, cause people think it's like butter.
Oh.
yeah, like by a buyer. I'm like, oh my gosh. But then you have to remember it's a new product. You know, I mean, people have never heard of it. And so the consumer education piece is so important. And I think it's one of those things that like, you know, once people try it, they get it, you know, it's like, cause it's similar enough to like, it has the texture of an almond butter, right? Like you've tried it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So it's like, once you try it and have it like in your mouth, like then it's fine, but it's like getting it in people's mouths is like the obstacle. So yeah. So, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Social media though is awesome because, and that's really where we shine is like, because we launched our brand on Instagram, you know, we use all of our customers as basically our brand ambassadors. And as, you know, as people who can explain and educate to their friends for us. And so, yeah, so that's been great just because, you know, it's hard to explain to everyone. And so, it's almost more impactful when people do it for you. So we've utilized and leveraged influencers a ton. And, you know, just me having kind of my own network within like the wellness influencer community. I hate that word, but you know what I mean? Instagrammers, community, like that's been really helpful because, you know, I can reach out to some of my friends and be like, hey, you know, I launched this company, like, would you mind supporting me and just like sharing about it? And so that has been awesome because we haven't had any money on paid advertising. You know, a lot of brands will spend like do sponsored posts with influencers and stuff, which I think like, I mean, I think the return is there, but it definitely has gotten to be a little bit saturated. So it's more expensive. But yeah, I mean, I think overall, like, just having, you know, other people spread the word for you is the best way to go, because otherwise it's like just really exhausting explaining yourself over and over.
When I've worked with like food startups before, one of the big things is that you want your customers to like go to the store. Like if you're not in Whole Foods or something yet, like, oh, like you want your customers to like go to the store and kind of advocate for you. So I would imagine that with social media, you're kind of reaching even more people to kind of be asking for it and looking for it and wanting other stores across, you know, everywhere without bounds kind of to be holding you guys.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And people are, I mean, so awesome. Like I get so many DMs on, you know, on both accounts, but mostly on Queen and Co, of people just saying like, you know, hey, I'm in like Florida and like you guys aren't in any stores here. I'd be happy to go in and talk to the buyer for you. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's so cool. And it's so great as someone who, I mean, we're a very like stealthy organization. Like there's only four of us or five of us now, but, yeah, I mean, so for us, like to be able to have people help us kind of in other areas of the country, it's so awesome. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, it's really cool because we can go to buyers and show them the social proof and be like, hey, you know, we have like, look at all these messages from people who literally shop at your store every day, requesting the product. So, that's been really helpful. And I think kind of the whole industry is headed that way just in terms of, you know, using social media kind of, for sales and just for like the social proof and all that.
And in creating your own business and coming into this, were there any like entrepreneurs or people who had their own food businesses or female entrepreneurs that you kind of looked up to or had mentorship from or kind of see as role models?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if you're familiar with Opry. They're like So Darby is their founder. And I just remember it was before I even launched Queen that I had launched Avo Queen at the time, and she reached out to me, and we were both in San Francisco at the time. And she just reached out and, you know, was just so sweet and was like, hey, you know, I know that you're also in San Francisco, would love to meet you for coffee and just talk to you about this company that I launched. And so she had been like, I think she had just launched like three months ago or something. And, so we met for coffee. She brought me like a ton of her product and really just talked to me about the story. And I love so much about how passionate she was. And so we kind of stayed in touch and then, you know, really got closer after I launched my product, and my company, because, you know, obviously like I turned to her for advice and everything. And so she's just been such an awesome mentor for me because we're not in a competitive space at all. Like she's in beverage and, you know, I'm in food. And even if we were in the same space, like she's just such a sweet person and, has been so helpful because she really launched, you know, her company about a year before we did. And so she's like, not so far out, you know, that it's like someone who is a mentor, but like they're, you know, 10 years ahead of me or something. So they're kind of in a different space. Like she's still in the thick of it. But she is farther ahead than we are. And so it's been really nice to be able to just help each other out that way. So she has an awesome company and mission and, they're great. She relocated down to, I think they're in Santa Monica now, but
yeah, that's awesome. I feel like it's a really important area to support just like other women owned businesses or especially in food and beverage. It's just a really, really interesting and strong space.
And it's kind of cool too, because I mean, traditionally like the food space in restaurants was always so dominated by men. Yeah. I've learned a lot from Ari, you know, cause obviously he comes from that space and, you know, just hearing kind of like the horror stories from him of, you know, of just, it's such a macho environment. And so it's really cool. I think now with CPG, like branding is really, you know, queen. and so being able to know your customer and really hone in your branding, I think women have made like leaps and bounds in CPG. And, at the end of the day, like the consumer is going to be usually, you know, a woman in terms of just food buying behavior. And so it's been really exciting. Yeah, I think, you know, our customers resonate a lot just because, like, I know personally what they're going through versus I think a lot of times with wellness companies who are run by men, it's like, you know, they kind of guess what women are going through, but they haven't actually been through it themselves. And so there's a really big difference there. And you can have the best, like, marketing and branding agency in the world, but if you haven't gone through the same struggles as your end customer, then, like, there's still going to be a disconnect there.
Yeah. And I think the authenticity and, like, story behind it is such a huge support, not necessarily something that will overtake, like, the product. Obviously, you have an amazing product too, but just that, I think those really are such an important piece that a lot of the time, sometimes brands can just not have as part of their brand, or can really make someone else, like, really stand out and be something that you really want to buy into and support.
Totally. Exactly.
Okay. I have a couple quick fire questions as we're wrapping up. So normally I ask what someone's favorite nut butter or is, and I ask if it's crunchy or smooth, but this is granola butter. Do you have a favorite product that you have, or a new flavor that you want to launch soon or, like, have dreams of?
Yeah. So my favorite will always be the original, just plain original, not even the collagen one. I know people love the collagen just for the added protein, but I think the original is the best. I like the spice blend kind of shines through, and that one's my favorite by far. In terms of future products, we're going to be launching the single serving packets in a few months. So that's super exciting. Kind of like the little Justin's, like, squeeze butter or single serving packets. And that's, you know, just something that so many people have asked about, because really, like, I mean, our end customer is like a mom or a dad who has kids in nut-free schools. And so, you know, it's been kind of obviously nice for them to be able to spread granola butter on a sandwich or whatever, but it's even easier to have, like, a little squeeze pack they can just throw in the lunch or, you know, something like that. So also it'll be super exciting for, like, any, you know, kind of like millennial woman on the go, in between workout classes, like, stuff like that.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's going to be super exciting. We're actually, like, I just got sent the photos of our packet machine. It's, like, this huge, like, crazy looking machine that, we're going to have to figure out how to operate, but, like, that's on its way over. So that's kind of exciting. And then, I think chocolate and original are, like, our two core flavors. We did do a pumpkin spice that was, like, a limited edition, just a seasonal. And then, we're thinking of launching one more, like, core flavor. So I'm not quite sure what that's going to be yet. But something that's just, like, is, like, a classic, you know, we don't want to get too crazy with the flavors, because granola butter is, like, a new idea already. So I don't want to, like, be like, I don't know, add some, like, crazy, like, ginger, lime, you know, I don't know. But we still want to do, like, seasonal. So we might even do, like, a fun, like, seasonal flavor for summer, or, you know, something like that. But yeah, I mean, we're kind of just head down on, like, the current state of things, which is, like, the chocolate launch, and then the single serving packets.
Yeah, I love that. Single serving made my jaw drop. I love single serving packets of everything. So that's super exciting.
Well, I mean, lastly, like, that's kind of my biggest issue with the wellness industry, is that nothing is, like, not everything is accessible to everyone, right? And, like, I mean, even with our product, like, it's super expensive for the size that you get, but it's, you know, it's quality ingredients. We make everything by hand, but it still bothers me that it's, like, you know, you, not everyone is going to be able to afford it. And so with the single serving packets, like, that was something that obviously, you know, it's cheaper to buy in bulk, but at least, like, for someone who's, like, you know, a college student, and they're like, oh, I really want to try granola butter, but, like, I'm on a budget, you know, then they're at least, like, sample it with the single serving packets. And so until we're able to, like, get to scale where we can lower our price, like, this makes me more comfortable to be able to stand behind a brand where it's like, okay, like, you know, we at least have options for people. Because it was really bothering me where it was like, I mean, you know how it is, like, wellness is just, we try to act like it's accessible to everyone, but, like, it's really not, at least this, like, consumerist, like, wellness.
Right.
Um, And so, yeah, so that's like our biggest goal. I mean, obviously it's tough because at the same time, like running a small food business, like the margins are so small, that it's like kind of hard to do it all. But down the line, like that's ultimately our goal, is to make it so it's like accessible for everyone.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a favorite coffee alternative or matcha or like kind of favorite like go-to drink?
Yeah. Well, so I drink decaf coffee. I'm not like against coffee in itself. I really can't handle the caffeine. I'm such a wimp. So yeah, so I'll do decaf. And I love just like decaf with a little like vanilla collagen, and then like, you know, maybe like a little vanilla extract. I'm like a really big vanilla person. And then I just like whiz it up in the blender and it gets all like frothy and amazing. So that's, if I do coffee, I'll do that. Matcha, I do love matcha, but I found that like I have to have it sweetened, just because like otherwise I kind of feel like it tastes like dirt. Sorry for like everyone who loves like unsweetened matcha. But like I just can't handle it unsweetened. So I only do that like a couple times a week. And like also the caffeine in that is obviously higher than like a decaf. So I'll usually do a matcha like with food or something. Cause I just get like, it's so dumb, but I get so like jittery when I drink. I don't know. Do you too? Or is it like,
No, I feel like I'm almost like immune to coffee somehow, but no, I've had that happen and it's like the most uncomfortable feeling ever.
Well, I think it's like something I've been like reading about it. It's something about people who you just metabolize caffeine like more quickly or slowly or something. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend is exactly like you. Like he can drink a coffee and fall asleep. Like it doesn't even affect him. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite part of your day or like a morning night routine?
Yeah, I'm a big morning person. So I've always been like, not a morning person, kind of like, I mean, I guess like a mid-morning person. like I'm not the type of person that just springs out of bed and like is like singing on my way, you know, at 5 a.m. But I do love mornings. I think what I love the most is like no one else is awake. It's quiet. It's peaceful. So I've been actually waking up I set my alarm for 5 and then like I kind of like slowly wake up and I like get out of bed at like 5:45. Cause I'll kind of just like lay there for a little and like scroll Instagram, which is so bad. But, I just love mornings and I like to actually like respond to emails. I know this is like against what everyone else says, cause everyone else is like, don't check your phone and like meditate. And I actually have found that I'm more anxious if I like put it off until later in the morning, just because I kind of to wake up like super early, you know, maybe respond to any like emails from the night before, because I do go to bed pretty early around like 10. But only work for like 45 minutes to an hour. And then I'll go to the gym or like go on a beach walk and like do some sort of movement. And then at least that way, you know, I've kind of done something, because I felt like before I would wake up, you know, work out and then shower, make breakfast. And by the time I was like sat down to check my email and like start working, it was like lunchtime basically. And I was like, oh my God, I just felt like I was playing catch up all day. So I don't know. That's what's been working for me right now. But I mean, I don't know. My morning routine always changes. And when I travel, it just kind of goes out the window, honestly.
Yeah. No, I love that. I'm a morning person also. And I feel like there's something just like nice, like not even that you feel more productive necessarily than someone else, but just of like being awake first or like having that time like makes such a difference. And last question, something that you're obsessed with, it can be like a food product or a person or like literally anything, just like kind of something like interesting that you're loving right now.
Ooh, okay. So I just got this book. It's called Journey to the Heart. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Let me see who it's by. Oh, Melody Beatty, Battie. So I heard about this from, do you follow Sweats in the City?
Yeah.
So I
think I saw you post this the other day.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I'm so bad at meditating. Like whenever I do meditate, I feel like a million bucks and I always question like, why don't I do this more? But then I get on the, you know, the track of like, oh, I don't have time, which like means that I definitely need to meditate more. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they were posting about this, and this is like my kind of meditation where it's like, it's it's like a daily meditation. So basically it's a book and it's just like a couple paragraphs for each day. So you like turn, I mean, you can read it however you want, but like, it's almost like a journal entry where like each day she's written like a little, feel good message, like to kind of just set your day like on the right, you know, tone. So I'll like wake up in the morning and then like this morning, I think it was about, like opening, you know, opening your heart, to like all emotions. So, it's something that I've really been playing with lately is like, you know, instead of just trying to avoid the negative emotions and feel the positive ones, like being open to like the whole spectrum of emotions and like, you know, not saying that one is like good or bad. So yeah, I don't know. That's just been like a fun little book that I've been reading lately. And it's like a nice, I just wake up and we'll like read a little passage and then, I don't know, go on my day.
Yeah. I love that. Journey to the Heart, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's just on, I got on Amazon. It was like $12.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a good book. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So as we're wrapping up, is where can everyone keep up with you, buy granola butter, follow on Instagram?
So Avo Queen is, you can follow me on Instagram, is AVOKWEEN. And then our brand Instagram is KWEENANDCO. So it's just Queen and Co. And then our website is just queen.co. And you can find us, I mean, we sell, yeah, we're on Amazon. We actually are on Amazon Prime now, which is super easy for everyone who's, I'm like a big Amazon Prime person, or just, you know, directly through our website. And then we're in a bunch of retailers. I'm actually working on updating our retail list like on our site today because we've added a bunch of new ones. But if you want to just try granola butter without buying it, we're a topping on Press Juicery's Freeze. So you can just go to any Press Juicery and then, you know, ask for granola butter as a topping. And that way you can kind of sample it before you buy.
Ooh, that's a perfect way to do it.
Like what I tell people who are like, can I have a sample? I'm like, well, kind of. Like,
you can go to Pressed and then. Yeah, that's awesome. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much, Allie. I love learning more about you and I'm so excited for everyone else to buy granola butter and follow online and just so much more. And I really, really appreciate how you share everything about intuitive eating and your journey and recovery in such a relatable and authentic way. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Brenna. This is awesome.